This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Maryam Lemu. I am so excited for the first time. With me is my husband.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
This is Saeed Takuma. No, you have to say your name.
You did mention my name.
No, I didn't.
Okay, your my name is Saeed Suleiman Takuma.
Okay. Yeah, we still fight a lot, but we'll go into that later, inshallah. I'm so excited, though, that for the first time, Saeed gets to talk about his side of the story, because I, with my big mouth, have told the whole world everything about him. In fact, some people know you better than you know you.
I found that out.
So I would love, though, if we could start, because this is the first of many, many series. So I hope you'll join us on this journey, this adventure. But let's go back to the very beginning. I know the decision for you to get married was not as straightforward as it is for a lot of people. And I think maybe if we share this story, it'll help those who are planning to get married, hopefully to do it right. So what was behind your decision?
Well, the interesting thing is I'm a product of polygamy. I'm the first of 26 children. And growing up, I think the minimum number of wives my father has had at one time is three. So, and life, for us individuals, being the sum of our experiences, that experience of growing up in a polygamy, a large polygamy for that matter, with a lot of children, I learned a lot of things, some very good, some not so good. But that experience essentially prepared me for the kind of husband I wanted to become, for the kind of father I wanted to become, the kind of partner I wanted to become. So it essentially taught me the do's and don'ts of having a good family life, of relating with your wife, of being a father to your children, and so on and so forth. So I started deciding on the kind of husband I'm going to be very early in my life, I should say. By the time I was maybe 10 to 15 years of age, I'd been thinking about the kind of husband I'd like to be and the kind of relationship I'd like to have with my wife.
And I think this is such a reality for so many. We grow up seeing what our parents do, how they relate with one another. And you are saying that what you saw, the good, the bad, and the ugly, you were able to filter and take away. The ones that you felt were not pleasant, you wanted to make sure you do it right and you don't make the mistake of what you saw that was not pleasant.
Absolutely. Not just in my immediate family. I had uncles and aunts, and I saw how relationships or marriages were not working as they should. And I was a very curious child, so I asked my father a lot of questions. When I saw traditional things being done in the family, I would ask him if that is religious or if that is traditional. And ultimately, it got to the point where I asked him, on what basis would Allah judge us? Is it going to be on tradition or is it going to be on religion? And my father just looked at me with a smile and said, son, it's going to be on religion. And I would oftentimes ask him about certain norms that just seemed out of the ordinary. They didn't seem proper. And he was way ahead of his time. He was honest with me and he would say, you know, he called me Yaya, being the eldest son, he would say, Yaya, that is not the way it's supposed to be. So earlier on, my father gave me that opportunity to ask. There wasn't that distance between father and son, and he was liberal in the sense that I could ask him a ton of questions about what's right and what's wrong. And that really started me thinking, how am I going to relate with my wife? And I decided very early, it's going to be strictly based on the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Yeah, and I know when we first were courting, I remember you were telling me that these were my rights. I was too head over heels in love to even care about those at the time. But you were telling me, I do need to read up. I need to know what are my rights, However, I also need to know what are my obligations. And to me, I was like, I'll cross that bridge when I get there. Obviously, it was something that was very important for me to know before I got married. And I think for anybody who's planning to get married, this is such an important thing. Know your rights, however, know your spouse's rights as well, so that you don't ever cross the line, so you don't ever offend Allah. Like Saeed mentioned, the decision to get married was to make sure that he modeled the example set by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I know I am a witness that he really has done his best to live by that, to do that, alhamdulillah. Obviously, by the time we actually got married, things were not as we anticipated. The courtship was absolutely beautiful. It was very romantic. I remember you would be sending me audio cassettes of beautiful songs that expressed exactly how you felt about
The days of the analog. We had no digital
right.
in those days.
We didn't have digital.
The courtship, Maryam was introduced to me by my younger sister. And she sent me Maryam's photograph and said, here's the young lady that we think you might be interested in. And it took me a while to make the decision to commit to then say, I need to work on myself, because I was 26 years old at the time. Maryam was...
during courtship?
Yeah, beginning, when we were introduced. You were 14, I believe, or 15.
Yeah,
so, and we courted for 4 years? She was introduced to me in 1987. Maryam and I didn't see till 1990. Those three or four years, a lot of correspondence, like she said, a lot of cassettes, music expressing my love, and
letters.
So on and so forth, long letters. But one of the first things I told Maryam was, if you've heard the name and you hear it's prominent, the person that has the money is different from me.
Yeah.
So I made it clear to Maryam that I am a struggling student. I was in graduate school at the time. I didn't see myself as anybody's son who had money. And I actually told Maryam, if her interest is in somebody that has money, I am giving her the opportunity to end the relationship and go to that person.
Yeah.
As young as she was at the time, she made it clear to me that she was not interested in that.
I was in love.
She was interested in me. So the first thing is honesty, you know, being truthful, being frank, no pretentiousness. No fake lifestyle, nothing like that. And that was how the relationship began. And then we started writing letters. Then one day she called me. That was the first time I heard her voice, which was a very exciting day for me. And then the communication really got stronger. And then I came in 1990, met the family, which the families were family friends. They'd known each other for a while. But when marriage comes in, you know, the situation changed, you know, the dynamics change. And there was some elements of tension, and but we were able to go through it. There's one story I want to share, and Maryam wasn't there. During the courtship, traditionally, you go around to see the relatives of the bride-to-be. And I went to Maryam's village, her father's village, called Lemu, in Niger State. And there was an aunt of Maryam's who said, I know you've seen a lot of people and you've been courting each other for a long time, but I don't know if you really know Maryam. And I was like, I don't know where this conversation is going. And she said, okay, let me tell you who Maryam really is. She's spoiled, she's a brat, she has a temper, you know, she can be difficult. And I just stand, because I came to just greet relatives of the bride-to-be. And I'm being told all these negative things. And the woman said, do you know why I'm telling you this? I said, no. She said, I want you to know the bad side if you've heard the good. Because if you don't want her right now, we will not be offended if you pull out. That was shocking. And then I said, no, in spite of what you've said, I still want to go ahead. And she said, okay, the one thing I will never want to hear from you is for you one day to come and say you're divorcing her. I was like, oh my goodness, this is before the marriage. So I was like committing that there will be no divorce. So that was a very interesting experience. And I don't think these days a groom's relative or a bride's relative will sit down and tell you the other side, the unpleasant side, and say, be prepared to confront this reality when you get married. Because when it's courting, it's lovey-dovey, everybody's happy, you only see the best, you know, on the brightest side. But this lady, I think, did me a wonderful service because I went in with my eyes wide open. So I don't know if I ever shared the story with you, but this is what happened during courtship, and I really, really appreciated that.
Absolutely. And that courtship period is so critical.
Yes.
Some people ask, like, should there be a long courtship or a short courtship, blah, blah, blah. Really, it depends. But I think caught long enough, some people have this 3-month courtship. Mm. Honestly, that is not sufficient for you to know somebody who you want to spend the rest of your life with. I don't think that is enough time for you to see them in various situations, with their friends. How do they relate? With people like help, people who you would consider to be servants to them, how do they relate with them? Because you may suddenly find out they speak to people in a condescending way.
Yes.
They have anger management issues, they swear, maybe they don't pray, and several things that may be really, really important to you that you do not want to compromise. So I think it's really important that you take your time to truly get to know someone. And of course, we did istihara.
Yes.
Yeah.
That brings up a very interesting point. During the courtship, Sheikh Ahmed Lemo, Mariam's dad, had about 5 people actually investigate me, check my background, the things Mariam was talking about, attitude, how you relate to parents, how you relate to people, did I smoke, did I drink, did I wear jewelry, and so on and so forth. This was as the istihara was going on. Then one day I was invited by her elder brother, Mala Nuruddin Lemu, to the house. And I got there around maybe 10, 11 in the morning. And we started having conversations. I did not get home until about just before Maghrib. And I remember telling my dad, I went to see my in-laws, and from the moment I got into that house till I got home, nobody gave me even a glass of water to drink.
Did he said, you have to tell
no,
that
I need
story.
To say, I need to say that. I didn't know.
You make me feel so bad.
I didn't know if they're testing my patience or not. But I went home. I went back home really starving. And my father said, poor you. Well, anyway.
Well, eventually, he finally, after being starved, decided that, yes, he was ready to spend the rest of his life with me. You are ready to spend the rest of your life with me.
Yes, 29
okay,
years
good.
In September, inshallah.
So, yeah. But that courtship period was really, really important. However, when the marriage itself started, we had a lot of surprises in store and things we never expected featured. But inshallah, during the next episode, we shall be talking about that. Mm-hmm. And a question so many people ask, how did you survive 6 years of toxicity mm-hmm. and still be married together mm-hmm. and hopefully in love, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Inshallah.
Absolutely.
So see you next time. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.